Okay, so thank you. And I think what we'll do is we'll now go into group discussion. Although, as Carrie said, I like attaching the word mega to things. So we've had mega mass, we've had mega adoration. At the end of the month, we have mega rosary. So I thought we would complete the quadrilogy by doing mega Bible study. So you should now all have two sheets of paper. One will have the reading for the mass this Sunday, the first reading and the gospel. And the other page will contain some of the notes from my talk as to what I think is good to do when you're reading scripture. So if you can just make sure you all see them. And so here's how it's going to work. We're going to read them, and then you're going to be in your discussion groups, and then we're going to pull things together and talk about it a little bit, and then we're going to go and do the same for the gospel reading. So, everyone remind me, what was the first stage? Pray. Okay, so that's exactly what we're going to do before we start doing this. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, open our hearts and minds as we hear the word of God proclaimed. May it find in our deepest being fertile soil, and take deep root and produce good fruit in our lives to your glory. Amen. The first reading is a reading from the book of 2 Kings. Naaman went down and plunged into the Jordan seven times at the word of Elisha, the man of God. His flesh became again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean of his leprosy. Naaman returned with his whole retinue to the man of God. On his arrival, he stood before Elisha and said, "Now I know there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Please accept a gift from your servant." Elisha replied, "As the Lord lives whom I serve, I will not take it." And despite Naaman's urging, he still refused. Naaman said, "If you will not accept, please let me, your servant, have two mule loads of earth, for I will no longer offer holocaust or sacrifice to any other god except to the Lord." The word of the Lord. So we've prayed, we've read. Next two stages, we ask questions and then look for answers. So I'm going to give you about 5 minutes in your group. Ask yourself, what are the questions you would need to ask in order to understand this passage? And then go looking for some answers, and then we will reconvene in about 5 minutes. Go. Okay, let's pull things together. So, what were some of the questions that you came up with that you think you need to answer in order to understand this passage and in order to read it for all it's worth? Yes. Excellent. What other questions? Yes. Why seven times? What else? Somebody say something? Yes. Okay, where is the Jordan? Uh-huh. Go for it, both of you. Why is God only in Israel? Excellent. What else? Yes. Yeah, why did he come back with his whole posse? What other questions? Yeah. So what happened before this, and why did he ask Elisha? Yep. Who's Naaman? Yes. Why didn't Elijah take the presents? Yes. Okay, yeah. So when I was reading this, here were some of the questions I came up with. Some of them we've already heard. So who is this Naaman guy? Who is Elisha? What's happened so far? What do we know actually about the Jordan? Why seven times? Also, what's leprosy? You know, I don't think too many of us have met too many people wandering through the streets, ringing a bell, shouting unclean. What happens in the story? How does Naaman respond? Why does he want to take this earth home with him? But remember I said those important questions, those deeper questions? Where does this point? Does this point to anything in the New Testament? Does this point to anything at the end of time? Is there a moral to this story? So just a little bit of background, and then we'll get to the gospel. The Jordan was really important. I mean, what happens in the Jordan in the New Testament? Yeah, John the Baptist and Christ's baptism. This is pointing forward to that. But what we see in the Old Testament is a physical manifestation of what then later happens in the sacrament of baptism. Remember how it describes his flesh as being like that of a baby? I have a little niece, and I can attest that baby flesh is delicious. But we see played out in the Old Testament what is preparing us for the new, the sacrament of baptism, where what happens to Naaman's skin happens to our souls. And this points even further. This points us to when we're in heaven, when we will be made new. And the Jordan is significant, not only because of the events of John the Baptist and Jesus. Elisha, he had been the protege of Elijah, and Elijah had been assumed into heaven, where? By the Jordan River. Why seven times? Numbers in the Bible often have a lot of significance. Seven is the number of the covenant. It's a perfect number. It's a complete washing that Naaman receives. And how does Naaman respond? In a word, gratitude. He turns back up with all of his posse. And this is the important point. This passage in particular, we miss out on all of the important details. If you open your Bible and read, you'll find out this guy isn't Jewish. He's a Syrian. And he's come to Israel because he's heard that there's a prophet who could heal him. And he brings with him all this gold and silver to reward whoever it is who can heal him. And he wants to give this to Elisha, but Elisha doesn't want to accept it. Why do you think that might be? Why doesn't Elisha want to accept this money? Exactly. If he accepts it, it looks like he did the miracle. He didn't. God did the miracle. He wants to give God the glory. Oh, actually, I realized we didn't answer the question. Why mule loads of earth? Naaman had just encountered God. God had just healed him from his leprosy. He was now rejecting the false gods of his homeland and now accepting the God of Israel. And there was this idea at the time that you could only worship a nation's God when you were actually on that soil. So what he wants to do is he wants to take a little bit of Israel back with him. If any of you have been to Europe, there are always people that want to take rocks back with them, just so they have a little bit of the land with them. And that's what Naaman's doing. He's wanting to take back some earth so he can make an outpost of Israel back in his home country. So, let's do the gospel reading. As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." As they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice. And he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God?" Then he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." The Gospel of the Lord. So we're going to do the same thing again. You have 5 minutes in your groups. What questions do you need to ask in order to understand this passage? And then start looking for answers. 5 minutes, go. Okay, so let's pull this together again. What were the questions you guys came up with? What do you need to ask? Yo. Mm-hmm. What's the significance of the guy being a Samaritan? Why did they have to show themselves to the priests? Yes. Yeah, where was Jesus coming from? And where was he going to? Very important. What else? Why did Luke include this? Why is this actually important? Yes. Yeah, what happened to them? What happened to the 9? Yes. So what actually happened with that 9? Did they realize they were cleansed or not? did they realize and just not come back? Or did they not realize at all? Yes. Yeah, exactly. He seems a little disobedient. Hang on, I told you to go and look at the priest. What are you doing coming back here? Anything else? Oh, yes. Why 10? Yes, we said numbers were important. So, these were my questions that I came up with. And seriously, whenever I've led Bible studies, this is where I begin. I read the text, and I just go through, and I ask questions. In order to understand this text, what do I need to have the answers to? So, a little bit of background. Remember I said context, the book itself? What do we know about Luke's gospel? And the answer to that is, he is all about inclusion. He is about the universal message of salvation offered to the world. And you raise the question, Samaritan, what is the significance of that? Does anyone know who the Samaritans were? Yes. JP Catholic student, right there. Protestant, near enough. But exactly, the Samaritans, they were half-breeds. They, when the Northern Kingdom was conquered, they bred with Gentiles. So they had a very, very shaky relationship with the Jews that remained. And although they essentially had the same religion, there were some important differences. They worshipped in different places, etc. What do we know about lepers? You know, we have a common thread in both of these readings, in the Old Testament and in the New. They're both lepers. Leprosy is a skin disease. It's somewhat contagious. But in the Old Testament context, if you had leprosy, you were considered unclean. And that was declared by the priest. And if you were healed, that was declared by the priest. And if you were considered unclean, you couldn't make it to the sanctuary. You couldn't join in with the worship of Israel. You were excluded. What does Jesus tell them to do? In other healings, Jesus interacts with people differently. In some of them, he just gives a command. In others, he spits on the ground, makes paste, covers people's eyes. In this one, he just tells them to go to the priests, pointing to he is fulfilling the Old Testament. He's fulfilling the old law. He's not in contradiction to it. And how does one of them respond? He responds in the same way that Naaman did, with gratitude. And why does Jesus point out this foreigner? You know, we said that Samaritans and Jews didn't get along. So it's significant. When Jesus ever wants to make a point to his people, he always used people that they hated. You remember the parable of the Good Samaritan? He did that for a reason. And here, Luke is telling us something very similar. Jesus says, it's only this foreigner. It implies that among these group of lepers, there were some Jews as well as Samaritans. And that begs the question, what does leprosy here represent? What do you think? Sin. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, leprosy represents sin. And sin is a wonderful equalizer. Jew, Samaritan, if you were a leper, you were a leper. Likewise, you know, you're English, you're American, you're still human, you're still a sinner. You still need the grace of God. And does this point us towards anything? After Jesus' resurrection, the apostles are sent out to Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth to proclaim the good news, and Gentiles are brought into the church. They're brought into the covenant with Christ. And remember I talked about those deeper meanings. What's the lesson that we can learn from this? What do you think the moral of both this story and Naaman's story? What do you think? What are we to learn from this passage? Yes. Be grateful. The word I was going for was thankful. And does anybody know what Eucharist means? Thanksgiving. On Sunday, you're going to hear these readings proclaimed in the very place where we assemble to give thanks to God, to celebrate the Eucharist. That, like Naaman, like this Samaritan, we're not of the people of Israel. But God's grace is so great that we're incorporated into his family.